Donato is probably one of the experts when it comes to working and utilizing the phone for your sales conversation. The data in your pipeline needs to be fresh and updated. Technology can help, but very few can keep their pipelines clean while using them properly, i.e., they get full of gunk. Donato is the founder and general manager of data services at Ringlead, a company that offers the tools you need for your company's contacts. In this podcast, Donato reveals the problem with thinking cold calling or cold emailing is dead, tips for tracking your numbers and pacing your interactions with leads, contacting multiple influencers to move prospects through the cycle, and the culprits that are keeping good sales processes down. Hey everyone, it's Mary Lou Tyler, Predictable Prospecting. And today's guest is someone that you're really going to want to listen to. Why? Because he has just really drilled down to a level that is so impressive with working with the phone. And part of our process, if you're followers of Predictable Revenue, you know that the Predictable Revenue framework really talked more about email. But in order for this thing, this framework, this assembly line that we're building, in order for it to actually improve in velocity and reduce the lag, we need to use the phone. And we need to use the phone in a way that's smart. So I listened to our guest, Donato DiIorio. I listened to a webinar of his, which I'll put in the show notes for you, where he talked a lot about the use of the phone and how, in this case, voicemail. But that's only one small sliver of what this man knows. He's currently the founder and general manager of data services over at Ringlead, and I'll put his contact information after we wrap up the call in the show notes. So he's got a lot of expertise in the areas that matter in terms of pipeline. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Donato. And first question, as always, is tell us about who you are.
Sure. So I'm a technologist who became a recruiter years and years ago, who then went and ran and started a software company and come full circle. So I've kind of had many, many different careers to get me to where I am today. Today, I am, like you said, the one of the founders and the general manager of data services at Ringlead. And what that means is when people have problems with their CRM, you know, it's a thing that Ringlead does. We take care of people's data end to end. But one of the big problems that people have that software can't solve is, what about all the existing data in people's systems? Well, the different strategies and processes and technologies that I put together help get people's data up to speed. So we remediate all the data, so then technologies and software can take over to keep it clean and keep it moving forward. So I get to explore. I'm on the bleeding edge of how and what are the latest things to clean up and add some interesting intel into people's data. So that's what I'm currently doing.
Okay, very cool. Well, as you know, with the data that's collected in the pipeline at various sales stages, from what my world, it's, you know, cold conversation or initial conversation through to qualified opportunity. And then, of course, there's an opportunity record all the way down to close won, close lost. There's data being collected at all those steps. And I really focus on, in my area, is what were those sales conversations, with whom were they with? And because we're trying to establish a predictable formula for revenue, we're looking at the funnel itself, the pipeline. We're looking at the average deal sizes that are flowing through it. And we're also looking at time. So the data elements are being collected, but would you agree, Donato, that very few people really know how to take that and make something actionable out of it that they can feed back into their marketing assets, to their marketing campaigns, to their voicemails, to their scripts, everything else? What do you say about that?
I'm gonna blame sales reps, but so let's just throw down the gauntlet. Think about this: that one of the early products that we developed was called Contact Capture. And this is when I was running Broadlook as a CEO, and I found the company before we merged with Ringlead. And Contact Capture is a little tool that you highlighted information, press the button, and it would parse it and allow you to move it into your CRM. So I learned this basic axiom in watching salespeople, and I guess this same thing goes to marketing people, is that salespeople, marketing people, people in general, will only adopt a technology if it's easier than what they're currently doing. It's that simple. So if you bring this fantastic new thing into their life, but it requires them to change their process, to do additional things, they probably won't do it. Mm-hmm. So technologists, I'll include myself, we need to be smarter, and we need to make sure to collect that data. So I am circling around your question. To collect that data, to collect those things and conversations and the whom and who, then what has to happen is the process has to, as it naturally unfolds, as you naturally go through your daily process, the data must be collected as part of that process. So, and that's a challenge. That's where things like the iPhone came in, when it was, you know, one of the first user-friendly phones that you could do stuff with a swipe or a click or a pinch. So if, yes, we are not collecting it, but the responsibility is on technologists and the user interface and things like that to make sure that the daily things that people do collects that information as they go. That's the challenge. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that they don't realize it. It's just that they're not going to do it. So that's the solution to that problem. And it's not an easy solution.
No, not at all. You know, my biggest pet peeve, since at the top of the pipeline, we're really more of a numbers game still, even to this day, in that, you know, you open up the spigot, there's names going in. You know, we may get out of every 100 records, 3 to 10 people who's like one raises an eyelash, the other one may raise a pinky, the other one might raise his hand. But those conversations are a drip compared to what we're sending out. And my biggest pet peeve is, look, folks, we hope to have 5 meaningful conversations a day. What is the problem in trying to wrap up those 5 conversations? What are your thoughts about that?
So one of the first things I'll point out is that a lot of people are selling something, right? Mm-hmm. Cold calling is dead. Email is dead. And then came companies like Pardot and Marketo. What's next? One thing I say, talking is dead. And a while ago, in the 2000, 2005, phone conversations are dead and it's all going to be email. Mm-hmm. Well, everything has to be a multi-prong approach. There is no single solution. So for those listening, you know, to put your radar on, when someone says this point solution is the only thing you need, they're selling something. And the reality is you need email, you need phone conversations, you need social media, and you need to figure out how your business model and your selling model best works to figure out which degrees of what things you need. So, example, case in point. One of the most successful campaigns I ever had was selling to equipment leasing vendors. I was selling sales, lead prospecting, data mining / software, and I had some success with a couple. And I was like, okay, I want to reach out and build a list of a couple hundred of these. And I started going through, and somewhere along the way, I started looking at the numbers of my call. I tracked everything, and this is the before Salesforce days. And I think I was using Goldmine. It was really easy to use, and I was, you know, if you remember those desktop point and click interfaces. So I started tracking my numbers. And I realized that I was blowing through my list just way too fast, mm-hmm. way too fast. And what that meant is that in a very short time, my list was going to be done. So I, by mistake, it wasn't genius or anything, by mistake, I said, oh, I'm going to make a second pass through. So first pass, I reached out to VPs of sales, and second pass, I started to reach out to VP of marketing. Now, I still had my notes from the first outreach. And I started doing things like, well, Joe, in the next few minutes, I'm also going to be reaching out to Harry, who's the VP of marketing. And I started leveraging people and kind of using additional, you know, basically name dropping, schoolyard peer pressure. And I saw a massive bump in my response rate. I was like, huh, that's interesting. So then I said, okay, what if I call three people at each company? So I got my, I did my research first, had, I think it was a VP of marketing, VP of sales, and CFO at each company, or whatever the equivalent of a CFO would be. Maybe it was a CEO. And I did a 3x3 call approach. Each person got a call, and on each call, I referenced the other two people that I'm going to be reaching out. Hey, you may be, they may ask you about this about on the around the water cooler today. Or I kept changing it around. Well, when it was all said and done, I changed my sales advance. And a sales advance basically means that something moved forward in the sales cycle. That I got a call, I set up a demo, I moved it to one of my sales reps, whatever. But a sales advance, it moved from 1 out of 10 to 9 out of 10. So number one, yeah, it was a bolt from the blue. And I shared it with my co-founder, Broadlook, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's sphere of influence selling. I've been doing that for years. It's like, well, why didn't you tell me? You know, I'm this guy learning. I built this software product. I'm learning sales by the seat of my pants. And it's like, well, thanks for sharing it. He's like, oh, yeah, that's obvious. You call multiple people and you get in there. So Dan and I developed a whole training program around this method. Now, it worked out for us in a great way because, of course, we are a company that sold a product that generated data of people at companies. But the lesson still works to this day, that you can greatly improve your outreach and stop burning through your leads if you do a 3x3 approach. Now, it's interesting. If I would have thought back to when I was a young recruiter in the 80s, late 80s, and my boss told me, Donato, you got to call and email somebody because it's going to double your chances of getting a hold of that person. And this is probably like 95, actually. So I'm mixing dates. So 1995, and he said, call and email, and you're going to double your chances. Well, years later, I tracked the metrics, and if you call and email somebody, it's actually 1.3. You got 1.3 times a chance of getting a sales advance. That means adding a LinkedIn invite or any venue, Skype, Twitter, whatever. It's only adding 0.3. The single most impactful way to get that sales advance is calling multiple people, having your research done, leveraging them, and not burning through your data, one contact per company.
Yep. And the Predictable Revenue book, now it's very outdated, but in 2011, when that was published, we were trying to instill in folks that they needed to be emailing three people at a company at a time, asking one question, who's responsible for X? So we were trying to get the internal referral, and we used three people per company to do so, and consistently with all the records that we tested, we're getting a 7-9% response rate of positive, negative, or neutral. A case in point, since I was a business developer testing this out, I sent three emails to Chase Bank. One email came back saying, we don't give out any referral information. I didn't hear from the second one. And the third person gave me a name. So, it just really... It's just amazing when you start adding in what we call, what you call sphere of influence, we call the actual influence map. So if you put your desired buyer in the middle of a bullseye, we have a second tier that has direct influencers in the company, people with whom the buyer will actually listen to, or they have his ear or her ear. And then the third ring are indirect influencers. They might be users of the product or service, or they might be a liaison type person. But we define all of those people when we're working through the assembly of a framework for outreach so that we can do what we call intraday calling, which is taking that bullseye and then making calls on the same day within the company And I didn't know that there was a magic three number. So when I listened to your webinar and heard 3x, so 3 times 3 is 9, I was like, wow. And is that still holding?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, we've tracked the metrics for quite a while during the entire time of, you know, from 2002 when I founded BroadLuck, I think about 2005, 2006, somewhere in that is when I first started experimenting with this. Mm-hmm. And yes, the numbers still hold. So here's the interesting thing. Here's the rub. You know this. You call it one thing. I know it. I call it something else. Dan, my co-founder, knows it and won't tell anybody. How'd you get into that account? I'm just good. And a lot of people know this, and they read your book, so even more people know it. So why isn't it the norm? And I'm gonna put my finger on two culprits. Number one's the data companies. When you go to a data company, they sell you data by the what? By the contact.
Yes.
So if you want a second, a third contact, it's three times as much. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. So it's almost like it's like the old story. You go to the parent-teacher conference and they say, "Hey, tell you, Mary Lou, there's some problems with your child. All his crayon drawings are in black, and we're really concerned because he only draws stuff in black." And, you know, later on you ask the kid, and it's like, the black's the only crayon I had. So right. Nothing wrong with the kid. He just has black crayon. So that's the problem. The data companies, the traditional brick-and-mortar, old-style list vendors that tried to make the switch to technology and really failed, they sell the contact one at a time. Or they charge per contact. You know, we changed that model at Ringlead, and we're like, hey, we're going to data mine the entire account and give you everybody, let you pick. So that's one thing, and it's important. The second thing is, if this is important, do you know, for example, of any Marketo or HubSpot or Pardot campaigns that leverage in an automated fashion, reaching out in a 3x3 approach and using that knowledge in the scripting? Hi, Mary Lou. In the next few minutes, I'm going to be reaching out to Donato and Dan. Nothing. So the problem is in the existing momentum of old ways of thinking and old technology infrastructure. And it's simple to switch. Number one, yes, do what you can to buy multiple contacts. Stop blowing through leads. And number two, start pre-fabricating or pre-aligning your data. So if you've got 4 points of contact, here's an example. And this is an innovation that I've been playing with. If you segment on just title and you try to find, oh, this person has marketing in their title. You're very limited, but marketing department could be email campaigns. It could be category manager. It could be a lot of things that mean marketing. So if we've learned that if you are able to segment a title by both level and department and then compare all the people in the department to each other, you can actually have an accurate role of something, a designation, a tag like top marketing contact. You can't do that looking at a single title alone and not comparing it to its peers.
Right.
So if you pre-process your data and you assign a level, a department, and some role tags in your marketing repository, you can do outreach campaigns that are absolutely brilliant. I don't see anybody taking advantage of anything like that yet, but they should.
No, I mean, our workaround, and we have lots of Band-Aids in outreach, our workaround is to essentially move the, you know, we still ask for the internal referral. Once we get an inkling of where people are, we move it to working status. And what you just described is done by hand. It's what we call it under the umbrella of a highly personalized email, where we define the template ahead of time that gives the robust sales message. And then the reps have to personalize, usually the first paragraph. And that's where they would put what you just said technology should be able to do.
Yes. And the problem is that when you're looking at a contact alone, that is data. Mm-hmm. When you are looking at five contacts at a company and you are adding fields to your marketing system that show the influence vectors. So for example, first person, John Smith, director of marketing, title, director of marketing, level, director, department, marketing. But then you compare him to the CMO, you see that a up influencer is the CMO. The down influencer is a marketing manager, a campaign manager. The peer influencer is a director of sales at the same location. All those things should be designated and pre-processed in your marketing repository. That way, it can be automated. Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge, is that people just haven't got that to the level of sophistication yet. The data's there, which is what's nice. The data is there, but next step is the technology has to catch up.
So being a programmer, I'm thinking my brain is going a million miles an hour now. With level and department, if you have thousands of records in your house list, for example, how the heck, where do you start?
Well, the first thing that you do in any data remediation is you go through and you clean up your account data first. You've got to have accurate information. If you've got accurate account information, you can then build your contacts. So for example, we've got a process. It's, you know, step one is making sure the data is standardized or normalized. Step two means you fill in the company website. The website's like the DNA for finding additional contacts and information on the people in the future. Mm-hmm. So, and then you can mine the contacts. But you know, starting out, remediating and fixing the account data is step one. Everything else falls in after that.
You know, I'm sure people listening on this call who are driving down the freeway, like that are data geeks like the rest of us, are thinking, "Wow, I want this. What do I need to do? Where do I go?"
Ringly can help you out. You know, we've got patents, and so you know, we love this stuff. We love this stuff. We dive in. And there's tons of free information that I've written on my blog, DonatoDiorio.com. So mm-hmm. that's simple. Everything from, you know, 10 things not to do with data with 10 things to do with data. Mm-hmm. More than you can shake a stick at. But the challenge is you got to get sales, marketing, operations alignment. Because if you don't, everything sales wants to do, everything marketing wants to do, everything operations is supporting, it won't work. So that alignment is one of the first things I always seek when I consult with an organization that wants to bring their data to the next step, is really understanding where they want to go, adding some insight of what's possible, and letting them dream a little bit.
Yeah, well, here's the rub is that point of entry, I mean, generally, I'm talking upmarket accounts now. So for those of you who are SMB, smaller businesses or startups, you probably have one guy that does all. But the rub for me is always the point of entry is sales. They're not making their numbers. The leads coming through from marketing aren't high quality. So they want control of a process. They think outreach is going to be the answer to at least feed their pipeline with qualified opportunities. They want to get their own data. They want to house it in their own little silo. They will use marketing assets, but in terms of the tool to actually generate an outreach campaign, they would love an outbound prospecting system that they can use that's independent of the marketing system or the marketing communication system. So how the heck do you bridge that gap?
Well, I think that you go back to the adage, the concept that sales reps will do and use what's easier than what they've used before. Mm-hmm. So no one can control it. It has to be a hybrid approach. Account-based data, so accounts should not get into the system unless it has size of company, number of employees, SIC code, all those firmographic data. That should not be something a sales rep should mess with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So understanding where the handoff is. Now, when it comes to sales, the salesperson may look at a LinkedIn profile or a social profile of some sort and say, well, you know, this person has a great interest in the final four and you reach out and your first phone conversation is, hey, how would you like to have courtside tickets to the Final Four? I was just talking to a guy earlier today that would be like, you know, his dream. Mm-hmm. So boom, there starts a conversation. You're not going to be able to automate that.
No.
Not in any real way. So you got to figure out, let sales handle what sales should handle, let marketing handle what marketing should handle. You know, the simplest thing, Ben Franklin list. Make a list. Marketing does this, sales does that, and there may be some contention points. Mm-hmm. But I think when it comes to data, it's very simple. It's just like the difference between marketing and sales. You know, marketing is many-to-one outreach, right? And sales is more of the one-to-one.
Correct.
The
belly-to-belly, we used to call it.
Yeah. But so how do you split up the data challenges? The same thing. When you're going to act upon an entire CRM of data or entire marketing automation system full of data, you don't put that in sales hands. You put that in marketing's hands because it's a mass operation. When it comes to I've got the information, I'm able to reach out, that's when sales takes over. And you can give them tools like, you know, we've got our capture product. That's a great example. You know, I'll do my plug, ringly.com/capture. Little Chrome plugin, you land on a LinkedIn profile, it's the guy you want. Because sales found his phone number, and then you found his LinkedIn profile, but you don't have any more information on him. You press a button and capture, it goes out, appends the additional information that will help you in doing your outreach to that person. So let sales do what sales does, and let marketing do what marketing does.
Yeah, let's paint a picture for the startup, the folks that are listening to this who say, hey, I'm marketing, sales, and ops, because we're a small company. What's the perfect scenario for them to start building and architecting a robust pipeline, a robust data-driven engine that would allow them to push multiple channels of lead generation through it from a data perspective? Where would they start?
I don't think it's a sales or marketing challenge as much as it's a product challenge.
Okay.
If you've got the right product and you build it steadily, mm-hmm. you get your referrals. So I'm not gonna solve that with sales or marketing. Now you could have a tool where Capture, that would be a great tool for a solo operator, because a lot of people that use LinkedIn, they don't want to buy lists. They have access to a free version of LinkedIn. They get the contact information. That's, you know, solutions like that can work there until they get momentum. Mm-hmm. But you know, startups, you tend to have generalists that are not experts at any one thing. And just like you'll read in books like Innovator's Dilemma, you'll see people tend to become specialists as the company grows. We've gone through that at Ringlead. You know, we're getting some really amazing new hires that are great in marketing, they're great at sales management, they're great at operations, and it's exciting because it frees up people to focus. You know, I can focus on thought leadership and other things. So start the product of your startup. Make sure your product's right. That's my best. I've been through it 3 times. Get your product right, and everything else will fall in place.
Yeah. The other thing that that I run into a lot is we do a lot of work in persona development. Now, marketing has personas that they develop, but sometimes they fall short in the sense of the sales conversation, and behaviorally where people are positionally in the pipeline makes a difference in who's entering. You know, a lot of times people, the personas ebb and flow, come in, go out, depending on the product or service that they're selling. So we develop personas, and then we go to the database and try to get counts of how many people. I'll give you an example of a client just recently where we found a person, we developed a person we felt would be the ideal person to make a business decision on this product. We went to the house list, we did a count. We then went to LinkedIn, and surprisingly, we're able to get a count that we felt, wow, this is great. The house list had 50 to 100 of these people. And LinkedIn ended up reporting in somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30,000. So that kind of disconnect, you know, in the house list versus what's out there on social or what's out there in databases that are not resident in the company repository, is another big issue that I've run into a lot. A lot.
So basically mapping your total available market.
Right.
Yeah. So, again, I think that you got to take a multi-prong approach there. There's the challenge often is the data you're basing the persona building on may be inaccurate, right? So for example, you may start by saying, where were our last 20 sales? If they weren't coded right, your persona's off. So you think of it this way, that everybody wants great predictive abilities, right? Predictive is like the high level that, hey, I'm going to predict that this is the person that you want to talk to based on this and this and this. Well, predictive technologies are going to rely on analytics, right? Why is this the person looking at the data that you want, what you want? Analytics is dependent on reporting. If you're not getting the right data and fields, then you can't analyze and draw conclusions to then have a predictive model that is anything but solid. And then the reports depend on the data. So get your data right. Make sure the data goes into your system that you're making all your decisions on is dialed. If not, then you're not ready to develop a persona. You're not ready for reporting. You're not ready for analytics. You're not ready for anything predictive. Get the data right first, and the rest will fall into place because it won't be complex. It'll be simple. It'll be like, you know, things just dropping into that last puzzle piece. Oh, there it is. Click.
Perfect. Well, listen, I could talk to you forever. And I'm sure the people listening on this call are thinking, wow, this is an awareness that, you know, a lot of people just don't have an awareness around how, not necessarily complicated, but how important, how pivotal this is, how important it is, and how many people just aren't there is the scary part, but it's true. So, mm-hmm. You know, in closing, if I was someone whose head is spinning right now and thinking, okay, what's my first step? You said get the data right. And if they would like to speak with you, Donato, on helping them figure out a blueprint, a plan, follow the Ellenberg Road at the beginning, you know, how do they get a hold of you to do that?
I'm easy to find. I am so easy to find. I'm on like every social network. If you Google my name and can't find me, don't be in sales or marketing. And no, I'm pretty easy. So best way to reach me probably is just send me an email. Just DD, that's two D's, at ringlead.com. Or better yet, send me a message on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Anybody who sends me a personalized message, I will respond to. Anybody who sends me a connection request with nothing but, since you're a person I trust, I'd like to, I'm like, no. I've got 17,000 connections on LinkedIn from my recruiting years. So I like and appreciate and respect the personalized invites. And it's linkedin.com/in/DonatoDiorio.
Okay. So you guys heard that. That's a way to get a hold of him. And perhaps we'll have a subsequent call to talk about voicemail, because I know that's one area that I actually reviewed that webinar. You can send me the webinar link and I'll put it in the show notes. But for those of you who are listening, the voicemail, Donato gave three examples of what he calls like three little pigs, a straw of, what is it? A straw, wood. I'm forgetting my stories. My kids are old.
The straw, the wood and the brick. I had little kids when I wrote that webinar.
Okay. So the straw, the wood and the brick, and he gives examples of a straw voicemail, which is going to blow your house over, the wood one, which can burn up, and then the brick one, which is indestructible. So I think the webinar was done in 2014. So I don't know if you have any more updated voicemail analytics or on your DonatoDiorio.com blog, but I'll point people there, and then I'll point people to this webinar, because as he said before, it's 3x the results that you're going to get. So if we go back to my old 7-9% response rate on email, you run it through a sequence and you include voicemail and you include the telephone in, we're talking double digit response by the time you finish that campaign. That, talk about list exhaustion, that will really make the list last longer. You'll be able to get more value out of your list and not blow through records. And the quality coming out of there is going to reduce the lag and get you further into the pipeline than you are today. So really listen to this webinar. And I think part of your tools should be to really understand the value and the power of voicemail. And I'm talking to you millennials out there who love to text and email and maybe right. not use the phone as much anymore. It's still the main way to generate predictable revenue and to actually have conversations that are meaningful in nature so that, as Donato said, you can advance the sale to the next step. Thanks so much, Donato, for your time. I really enjoyed having you on the call.
Thanks, Mary Lou. It was fun.